Welcome to Modern Practice, where you get a curbside consult from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva, and on this episode, we're going to talk about the need to plan for surge cases from COVID-19, mainly in the areas of staffing. With the coronavirus already causing challenges to hospital staffing, and with cases only expected to keep growing in number, we need to find innovative ways to meet the care needs ahead of us. Helping me on this issue are two of my colleagues from Vizient, who are well-suited to discuss expanding scope of practice to meet these challenges. First is Kristen Hunt. Kristen, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here today.
Hi, Tom. I'm happy to be here today. My name is Kristen Hunt. I'm a nurse practitioner by training. Prior to joining Vizient, I was in a leadership role where I really worked to optimize advanced practice providers. So it was a great fit for me to transition on over to CAP2, which is the Center for Advancing Provider Practices. This topic is near and dear to me. We focus solely on optimizing the entire care team, and which is so important, especially now with the COVID-19 crisis. So very happy to join this conversation.
And thank you for joining us, Kristen. Also joining us is Dr. Susie Simber. Susie, tell us a little bit about your background and your role in Vizient.
Thank you, Tom. I'm a pediatric anesthesiologist who has practiced general and pediatric anesthesia, educated medical students, residents, and other practitioners, and held administrative positions at academic and community hospitals for 20 years. Just before I joined Vizient, I was a field surveyor with the Joint Commission, and now I am a proud member of the accreditation advisory team at Vizient.
Great to have you here, Susie. So team, let's dive right into it. What is this current crisis doing to staffing and healthcare organizations? Now, I can imagine it's causing a chaos out there, but what are you hearing from some of our members out there?
Well, you know, Tom, this is Kristen. I've heard a wide variety of things in current status. We've got some organizations that are completely understaffed. They don't have enough resources to care for the increased crisis. And we've got other organizations that are actually looking at furlough their employees. They don't have enough work for them to do. So they have stopped the surgeries, and so their census is down, and so they actually don't have enough work for them to do. So there's a wide variety of workforce things that are going on currently in the current status.
I've actually heard the same thing. Susie, I wonder if you had any point.
I, as well, Tom and Kristen, have heard the same things. And as an anesthesiologist, a lot of anesthesiologists are looking to see how they can help in the workforce now.
So we've heard about there's two sides to the issues here. You have organizations that are struggling with just trying to maintain their current staffing and other ones that are, if you will, have a surplus in staffing. So how can expanding scope of practice alleviate lots of these issues?
Sure, Tom. There's lots of opportunities for us to really expand the workforce currently, especially in these organizations that are experiencing a significant shortage of clinicians. So one particular way that I'm looking at is, you know, looking at physicians, nurse practitioners, PAs, nurses, pharmacy. There's a wide variety of disciplines that really can be optimized to make sure that we are truly utilizing all of our resources. And Susie, this is a great example for you, and I would love to hear your take. You know, we're hearing anesthesiologists, so we're not doing as many surgeries, but they are also, you know, trained in critical care. Have you heard much about optimizing the anesthesiologist specifically?
Very much so, Kristen. Thank you for that question. Not only the anesthesiologists, but let's remember we have advanced practitioners, CRNAs, who are vital to help with the care of patients that are being put on anesthesia machines when there's a critical need for ventilators. And the manufacturers now have allowed us to use the anesthesia machines as ventilators for these critical patients. The other option that is popping up amongst different areas where there's a huge surge is the reopening of ambulatory surgery centers, both on campus and off campus. Additionally, independent ambulatory surgery centers are reopening. So all of those staff, including the physician assistants, nurse practitioners, whoever work there, could accommodate the inpatient census in those units.
So what's involved to make this happen? And I think probably the biggest question that we're going to hear from many of our members is, what are the ramifications?
Yes, Tom, this is a huge question. There are two ways our members can add crisis staffing. Some governors have changed the scope of practice in the name of the pandemic state of emergency for advanced practice practitioners. Uh-huh. This allows the hospitals to change the current delineation of privileges to a wider scope of practice for several categories of advanced practice practitioners, such as physician assistants, anesthesia assistants, nurse practitioners, PharmDs, and CRNAs. Another source of crisis staffing is to add voluntary disaster practitioners that do not currently have practice privileges at your hospital for a maximum of 120 days, which is how you would accommodate your ASC or clinic personnel that you already have that are offering assistance.
I see.
Some states are allowing practitioners to practice in some states where they do not have licenses. However, we have been hearing that malpractice insurance is not condoning this practice, and then some payers are not reimbursing for the services rendered.
Yep, that's a great point that you bring up there, Susie. You know, we're hearing a lot, especially on the federal level, of pushing out, really expanding scope of practice and pushing it out to the state governors. But, you know, there's many steps and different things that we need to look at. It's not just a federal mandate. We have to actually look at the individual state level. We have to look at the medical staff bylaws. And then again, another point that you brought up is really looking at that malpractice insurance and looking at our private payers as well. Lots of things to consider.
They sound like a lot of ideas and actually more things that you need to consider. But what efforts are going on right now to do this?
To extend the scope of practice of current practitioners for the time of the emergency, the hospital's administration must first formally expand the delineation of privileges and then grant those privileges. This process is modified and simplified when the emergency operations plan has been activated at your hospital. Please follow that process delineated in the plan. As for granting voluntary disaster privileges for a maximum of 120 days, the process is outlined also in your emergency operations plan and is greatly streamlined to accommodate the resources needed during crisis management. Some volunteer practitioners have already registered with organizations known as pre-event verification of qualifications, which simplifies the process even more. Examples of these organizations are DMAT, MRC, and several others. Even states have been organizing these types of ways to verify privileges.
You know, at the time of this recording, the major impact of the virus is only affecting large major cities throughout the country. And in other areas of the country, it's just not really an issue at this moment. So how are these efforts changing how we deal with COVID-19?
You know, I have heard about some organizations that are definitely not feeling the burden is actually shifting their workload and actually mobilizing them to more critical areas. The problem with doing that is you're then exposing these providers. They can't just come back to their area of where they normally work. So it has to be really thoughtful, and you have to think out that process exactly. How is it going to be able to be done most efficiently and also infectious control-wise, safely? So there's definitely some things that you need to consider with mobilizing your staff. But, you know, I think that this also really brings light to, we never thought we would be in this position at
Absolutely
all.
Absolutely not.
And so this is all brand new territory. We haven't really thought this through. And so a lot of these rules are changing every minute by minute. You know, we're identifying new challenges that we're being faced. And so then we're having to be very creative in how we're addressing these problems. So again, I think we all need to keep this all in mind, that this is new territory for us. We've never necessarily been faced with this type of pandemic where we've had this type of challenge. And so we need to be very thoughtful about the choices that we're making, because it's going to be hard to undo some of the things that we're doing. So just being very thoughtful of our process moving forward is very important. And being up to date and following the state statutes and following what's going on specifically in your state and your organization is very, very important, because this is a rapidly changing environment.
Very true, Kristen. And as we all know, we have quarantine providers who have already been affected by dealing with the first line, helping our patients that are COVID positive.
Right.
Most of those providers have been helping with the huge telehealth interactions that are being implemented extremely quickly. And the needs for those are not only for our COVID positive patients, but just remember, we have many other patients, especially in our specialty clinics, that are needing care. And the triaging of whether their needs can be met through telehealth, or do we still have to see those patients in person?
All great points. And many of our colleagues among our discussion are asking, is this going to be the new norm? Which actually leads to my next question or comment. Some have observed that if you loosen restrictions on scope of practice, it's hard to turn back time and reinstate them once the crisis is over. Do you foresee these changes staying the way they are now?
Yeah, Tom, that's exactly kind of what I was alluding to earlier, is we need to be very thoughtful about our choices that we're making. And it is hard to turn back time. And who knows what our new normal is going to be? We don't know where we're going to be in the next 5 minutes or what state we're going to be in. We can predict it, but it's a prediction. So I don't think there's any magic answer to that question. But again, being thoughtful about the choices that we're making in this time is going to be very important.
I agree with you, Kristen. The item to remember is that each state governs scope of practice, so we will have to see what the future holds. If our members stay in touch with state mandates and document how they have changed the delineation of privileges clearly, it will be easy to adjust to any permanent new changes in scope of practice. Permanent changes in scope of practice usually take state legislative maneuvers to happen, so I'm not sure as to how our scope of practice will change in the future.
You know, one thing that I would like to add on to that too is working with the Center for Advancing Provider Practices, we've definitely seen lots of opportunities to optimize our workforce. So this might actually, you know, in the light of this huge, horrible pandemic that we're faced with, is there might be actually some good that comes out of this. We might actually be able to see the full potential of all of our clinicians and really optimize our entire workforce. And we actually may have a new, better new norm when we are actually through this actual crisis.
I agree.
You are correct, Kristen. Having lived and practiced in the Southwest, the West has of the United States has already identified that our advanced practitioners play a huge role in maintaining the health of our communities.
Thank you both for giving us ideas we can use in the days and weeks ahead, and for those listening today. I hope this glimpse into the potential approaches for expanding scope of practice helps you anticipate the surge for COVID cases. And please join us for other podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thank you for listening.